SONewsSports.com. And this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Alrighty, hello there, and welcome to MSO News Sports. This is Connections, and today we'll be connecting you with newsmakers. Boy, not enough coffee, I guess. Newsmakers all over the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell is off today, but Tim Kearns will be joining us live in just a minute with a preview of today's Gloucester Little League Championship game. They are in the state Final Four. Never happened before for Gloucester, and so big goings on today statewide, and this will take place, where is it? North Reading today. The game will be played in North Reading, so Tim's going to have a highlight of that for us, or at least a preview, I should say, of that. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. And we've got some other guests as well. We'll be talking with Gloucester Fire Department Chief Eric Smith toward the end of the hour. Also, we'll be joined by Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll, who talks on a host of topics, the emotional topic, of course, of sanctuary status. And the mayor explains how Salem is not really a sanctuary city, and certainly not according to the definition of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And the mayor also talks about some other things, as well as some uplifting educational prospects. So we'll check in with Mayor Driscoll about that. Heather Atwood will be along with some of her stories behind the story once again, and I'm told there is a change in the top 50, so Heather will update us on that. What else do we have here this morning? Oh yeah, Kate Fox, the Executive Director of Destination Salem, will also be on board, and Kate, we'll be talking with Kate about activities in Salem this time of year, because, you know, we're going to round the corner here soon. I'm not trying to rush summer, what little there has been of it, but right around the corner, you know, you start thinking August and September, and man, people start looking at Salem with sort of a different view, and we don't want to get into that just yet. So there's other things going on in Salem that Kate does want to talk about. So why don't we take our first break of the day, and then when we come back, we'll check in with Tim Kearns, who will tell us all about, give us a preview on this Gloucester Little League situation where they'll be playing in the Final Four today. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit Institution for Savings Loan.
Them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate resident. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Well, you know the Einstein definition of insanity, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I've done this morning. I've hit the same button at least three times and screwed it up, so my apologies to listeners. and to our sponsors as well. But anyway, we're here with Tim Kearns, who was our MSO sports analyst and also a baseball coach and knowledgeable in many different areas. But this is kind of a new trip here, Coach. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
This thing about baseball, and I tell you, I've done games for WESX back in the day. We did Little League coverage, but I never understood this whole playoff thing and how it's structured and so on. But I do know this: Gloucester is doing very well.
Yeah, they are on a run. They're 11-2 through the sectionals, heading into the state final pool play this weekend in North Reading. And it's really exciting. It's the first time that they're headed there as 12-year-olds. And Coach Howard, Jared Howard, is doing a great job with the kids. He coached them to the state finals in 2010 when they were 10-year-olds. So it's not a place they're totally unfamiliar with. But again, you know, it's 2 years later. The competition, they've played Holden before, one of the teams they'll be going up against. So there is some familiarity with the kids, but you don't know how they, you know, project over 2 years, and are there different players on that team now? As I'm sure there are some different players on the Gloucester team as well.
Now Gloucester plays, I guess, it looks like it's 7:30 tonight, according to Gene DiPlacido in the Salem News. Does that sound right?
Yes, it is. And then on tomorrow night they play Holden at 7:00, and then they put play. Gloucester Milton on Saturday.
Well, how many games? I don't. So explain how this Final Four thing works.
it's weird, Rick. It really is. There's a pool of four teams. They play each team once, and then it's by record, and then it's by what they call run ratio, which I still haven't quite figured out yet. But here's how crazy it is. When Gloucester played Peabody last weekend, Gloucester was 3-0. Peabody was 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
If Peabody beat Gloucester on Saturday in that final game, they would be in the state finals with a 2-2 record, and Gloucester with a 3-1 record would have gone home.
Okay.
I'm not sure why they play this last game when you have a definitive winner of the pool play.
Yeah.
You know, Gloucester, again, undefeated. They'd beaten all three teams, had basically bashed them to submission with home runs. Home runs playing a key role in both Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday's games. But I can't imagine being 3-1 and being told you're going home after losing to a 2-2 team.
Right.
But that's the way it's structured. I don't know. To me, it's more feel-good baseball. Give everybody who's lost a chance to win and make the winner feel bad about having won.
That sounds weird. I'll tell you, the other thing that sounds weird, Coach, is that run ratio thing. That sounds a little dangerous to me.
Yeah, it's how many runs you average giving up over a 6-inning game.
Uh huh.
So, like in the tournament last week, Reading gave up 21 runs.
Mm-hmm.
They were automatic. They were out. North Andover gave up 20 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Peabody was almost in by default because they hadn't given up that many runs.
Okay. Wow.
So, you know, it's a nutty formula. I don't know who came up with that one, but it's kind of like the MIAA football playoff system. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around when you have a team that's, you know, getting penalized.
Yeah. Okay, Tim, I guess the other thing would be, tell me when does this Final Four thing wrap up? Is it wrapped up this weekend? Is that the final standings?
It wraps up this weekend, and then it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then the finals are on Sunday, and then the winner will move to the New England tournament in Bristol, Connecticut, which is the home of Little League Baseball, I believe, or at least ESPN.
Mm.
And then that the winner of that tournament goes to the Little League World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Cowabunga. Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious.
So
this is like the World Cup.
They are close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's terrific. Well, Tim, anything else you want to mention? Because I know that Steve Krause on our Monday Night Sports program was very effusive about what he had seen with this Gloucester Little League team.
Well, you know, they're very well rounded. They have hit 29 home runs, Rick, in this Little League playoff run of theirs.
Wow.
29 home runs. I mean, it's incredible. Lucido has 9. Morris has 8. You know, and you can't pitch around any one person because the next guy up is just as likely to put one out. But they're a team that has hit not solo shots, but grand slam, 2-run homers, 3-run homers. So the important thing is Coach Howard has mentioned in both Gene's article
Matt Williams's
article in the Salem News. These guys look to get on base. You know, they're getting hits, they're getting singles, they're getting doubles, they're getting runners on, and then the magic's happening. So they're just not putting up single runs when they hit these home runs. The other night against not the end of it, they won 4-2. They had 2 2-run home runs.
Mm-hmm.
They beat teams the first time on a grand slam in the late inning. So all these guys are coming up really clutch in big situations with the big hits. But they can also nickel and dime you to death, and this is a team that has played some outstanding defense. You don't get to where they are without being able to play defense, without being able to shut the other team down. And that starts with your pitching, and the strength of the pitching just, you know, really keeps the infield and the outfield on their toes, and they're making some really good plays. I've been to parts of one home game on Friday night, and then part of Wednesday night's game last week. And I'll tell you, they're sharp. They're aware of situations, and they're just making plays.
All right. I guess the best way to follow this would be on Twitter. I believe Jean does do a lot of tweets, does she not, from the ballpark?
She does. She is wonderful in keeping up what's going on. In fact, when I left the game Wednesday night, it was getting into my bedtime. It was such a late hour. The game actually started that little after 9 o'clock. I just followed her through the rest of the game. And so that's the way to go.
All right. Sounds great, Coach. We'll talk to you later on. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Rick. You too.
Thanks, Tim. Take care. That is Tim Kearns, who is our MSO sports analyst and jack of all trades and just incredibly knowledgeable about sports of all kinds. We appreciate his dropping by today. Obviously, good luck to the Gloucester Little League team. They begin this Final Four playoff run tonight, and it will end. The championship game will be on Sunday. So they got quite a few games between here and there. And we certainly wish them well. And we'll keep up with that with Gene DiPlacido's tweets. Say that 10 times real fast in the Salem News. So watch that and wish these kids well. We'll be back with more. This is Connections on MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our 3 locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
Yeah. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Heather Atwood at the Pleasant Street Tea Company. And Heather, we're going to start right away today with food again, and something interesting has gone on with the top 50. Update us on that.
I know. I went to prepare for your show yesterday, and my whole world was undone, okay? I've been working from this list, CNN's list of the world 50 of the world's best dishes, and we started at 50 and have been working down. Actually, I should back up and remind you why we even began this thing. You probably don't remember.
I do, but I want to see if you do.
Okay. I was doing a story on something called... yeah, eyes to the ceiling. I was doing a story on something called Singapore chicken rice. And I had a good friend had given me this recipe. I loved it. And I thought, I need to know what Singapore chicken rice is. I Googled it, and one of the places it appeared was in the CNN list of the 50 of the world's best dishes. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't? Okay, that's why we started this list. Okay. Because I was telling you about Singapore chicken rice, and I said it was number 43 on the list. Mm-hmm. And
that I remember. Yeah,
remember?
It started in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, and then so we had to skip 43. Right. So we were always off a number because we had started with 43, and we had to go back to 50 and work down. So we've been working from that list, and I find it really interesting. I think you find it really interesting. We love lists like that, right? Apparently, like 34,000 people thought this list was really interesting, too, wrote to CNN and said, this list is all wrong. We love your list, but you don't have it right. So they put a Facebook poll up and polled the world as to what they thought the top 50 dishes were, and the list has been redone.
Okay.
So here we are. Exactly. Yeah. So what we thought was going to be number 18 today is the Parisian croissant, which we did 2 weeks ago, I think, and that was like number 20?
Something like that.
Yeah, so I'm confused. And it's kind of interesting that they've added a lot of Korean dishes, and these Korean dishes were not on the list before. You're frowning because you don't have any idea what Korean food is, but I know there are a lot of people out there who know how great Korean barbecue is. It's fabulous. So that's on the top list. Singapore chicken rice, by the way, has descended from 43. I won't tell you where it is, but it's in the top 20.
Okay, it's moved up.
Yeah.
Moved up the list.
Yeah, right. I guess that's how we put it, right. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's in a single digit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
we've already covered that?
We have.
Oh, my.
But we'll have to, like, make a special moment and cover it again.
So how do we what do we do?
All right, I think we're going to start with 17.
Okay.
Because we'll just pretend we're still on the list. Mm-hmm. 17 is Italian gelato.
Ah!
Ah!
Did you see my face light up?
I did. I love it to see your face light up. So,
I have a story behind that, but you first.
No, I have no story. Oh. I love gelato. It comes in so many great flavors. There's nothing like it when on an Italian street to be sitting there enjoying your gelato with every other Italian family. Tell me your story.
We went to Disney World with my daughter. I think it was the first time we went there. And when you go to Epcot to go around the world. And my wife said, we're going to have some Italian gelato.
And your wife is Italian.
Yeah, she is. And I'm thinking, I don't like Jell-O, okay? that's what I was thinking. So she said, we're going to have some, and each of us is going to get a different flavor, and then we're going to swap it around. And I'm thinking, oh, God, strawberry Jell-O and blueberry Jell-O. Well, then we got the gelato, and
you were so relieved.
Yeah, and it was a hot day, and it was great. So we swapped all the gelato around, and we tasted all of them. It was great.
Oh, that's great. That's a happy story.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So gelato saved the trip.
Okay. And that should be in the top 20, as should potato chips.
No, potato chips. They're still way at number. They're actually at number 50 here. Yeah.
Oh, that's just so wrong.
I know. Well, people had complaints about that, and hamburgers moved. Okay, closer to number one. I don't know whether that's...
Now we're talking.
Yeah, but they're not in the top 20. I think cheeseburger we have to talk about which way we're going. It's closer to number one than a hamburger.
Okay.
That makes sense. Ketchup is... I don't think ketchup is on the list anymore. So they mentioned that couscous and lemon curd cake, which means... I know, I love to see you... I really like to see you happy, but... That didn't make you happy.
No.
You
used the word curd.
Yeah, right. I know. Exactly. It's not a nice word, but curd is kind of a good thing. Anyway, a lot of people begged for those two dishes to make the list, but they didn't make the list. So.
All right, let's get back to the list. We got gelato, which is great. And what's after that?
Yeah, and then...
I love it.
Oh, gosh. Potato chips is 37. I lie. Potato chips was number 50, I think, on the first one.
But I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's 37 here. Okay, so I got lost here. And number one has changed. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not saying anything about that, but I got lost. So it was gelato is number 17, and kebabs are number 16.
What kind of kebabs?
Turkish kebabs. Shish kebab, Oman kebab, chop shish kebab, Iskender kebab.
All right.
They're all Turkish.
Okay. Now, the only kebabs I know are what we do out in the backyard with beef, tomato, onion, pepper, that kind of thing. So enlighten me.
All right. There is a Turkish cuisine. They make kebabs. And it is really specifically a Turkish thing. They particularly lamb. Lamb is really big. But they also do chicken and beef. And basically in England, on every single street corner, there's a kebab shop. So, yeah, exactly. And there are a few kebab shops, I think, in cities like Chicago. I was just in New York. I didn't see many kebab shops when I was there. Chicago has them. But so it's an urban thing. So, you know, and the way we have, you know, little Chinese restaurants in London in particular, kebabs are big.
Off topic, what's the big dish on Broadway?
Oh, the big dish on Broadway?
Yeah.
I just saw Hamilton. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Now, that's a dish of a show. Oh, my gosh. It was so moving and exciting and just made you – it revived every patriotic cell in one's body. Mm-hmm. It really did. It's a great story. The music's amazing. We were way high up, but we still could see and hear. Yeah.
I think any show on Broadway is fun to go to, but that one has been around with such spectacular reviews for so long.
Yeah, it was really fun. So
I want to recommend a patriotic show that I think no one's ever heard of, a program, and it's called Oppie, O-P-P-I or O-P-P-Y, I'm not sure. It was by PBS back in the late 70s, early 80s. Sam Waterston played J. Robert Oppenheimer. It was a 12-part series, and it was the best television I've ever seen. And it got into, the communism mania back in the 30s and 40s and how Oppenheimer and his family handled that and so on.
His responsibility.
It's all centered around that and how he was dealt with it and, how the Army didn't want to give him security clearance and so on. Fascinating program. But when you said patriotic and patriotism, it just evoked that show to me and what a complex series of events took place back then, it's relatable to today. But and so anyway, Oppenheimer or Oppie, I forget what it is, but it's on PBS. You can Google it and you can grab the DVD. But back to food or wherever we were.
Yeah, well, I could spend a little time at Hamilton, but I won't. I just recommend, if you can't get to see the show, download the music, because the music is just wonderful. And it tells the story of Alexander Hamilton, and the music really tells it well. So it's great. That's our list this week.
Okay. But does it explain what a genius Hamilton was in terms of finances?
Oh, from the beginning. Okay. Well, from the beginning they talk about, you know, he was an orphan. His, you know, they say son of a whore, if I'm allowed to use that word. She died when he was 13, this was in the Caribbean. That's where he was born. So this really impoverished place, and he just got himself out, and he started to read books. You know, there's a lesson there. He read treaties, as they say. And he got himself to New York City, got himself to Princeton, and just kept fighting his way up and ended up as George Washington's right-hand man and was there that dark winter in Morristown, you know, where the American dream was almost a footnote in British history, right? And there was Hamilton and George Washington re-inspiring the troops, reorganizing the troops, trying to feed them and clothe them as best they could, but they got out of it. And then he became the first U.S. treasurer, right? He established the National Bank.
He was a young dude at that time.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right, now let's switch gears. We were talking in our pregame warm-up here about cookbooks or cookbook. I'm not sure.
Yes, I have a new fish cookbook. I am hoping to put it up on my blog really quickly. I need to prepare a recipe from it so I can get some good pictures. But the cookbook is called The Fishmonger's Wife, mm-hmm. And it is from a woman who is actually a, I guess it's not the fishmonger's wife. It's a fisherman's wife. Mm-hmm. And she is a fisherman's wife on the far shores of Long Island. Her husband has something called Blue Moon Fish. They sell fish in New York City at the farmers markets. They go to the Union Square Market and the Brooklyn Market, and they have a little stand. And it's really, it's not exactly a mom-and-pop operation because they have probably five kids working for them in these farmers markets. But that fisherman goes out and catches the fish, puts it in the back of his truck, and drives to New York City and sells it. It's about as simple and fresh as it gets, and we don't have that story very much. And his wife obviously helps a lot. And she and a friend of hers, a guy named Kevin Bay, have put together a cookbook. And it is a beautiful cookbook. It's one of the most beautiful cookbooks I've seen, and certainly the most beautiful fish cookbook I've seen. It's really great. So I'm going to try to get that up on my blog, Food for Thought, very soon.
Now, the reason I just squinted.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Beautiful and cookbook. And the same, I mean, you know.
No, you don't understand food porn, Rick. Food porn is a thing.
Okay.
It really
I'm
is.
Learning, I'm trying.
I know. It's the idea that you could not look at a beautiful picture of food and be inspired. And I know you're not. You just don't get it.
You go to a restaurant, what the hell is... And presentation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly, yeah. But pictures of food are a big deal. And as I said, this Stephanie Villani is the name of the author, and her partner is Kevin Bay, and he took all these pictures of her and her husband on the boat, and the fish are coming in, and this, you know, this beautiful Long Island waters.
And we'll get a reference on your website?
Yes, yes. I'm hoping to get that up pretty soon, but okay. Maybe 2 days from now.
Okay. And I'm gonna say something at risk of editing out. Without getting into any detail, you may have a project coming up in the future that sounds pretty exciting, and it sounds to me like you could be doing some traveling and doing some investigative reporting type stuff.
That is all true, yes. And I could be doing a lot of traveling. It's a very big project. It's a national project. It's pretty exciting,
okay.
And it is... you know, changing the racehorse a little bit. It's a different race, but it's a really good one, and I'm very excited about it. So I will tell more when I can.
That's
yes.
Right. Okay, I can't wait to hear about it. All right, that's Heather Atwood. This is MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Back on Connections now on MSO News Sports with Kate Fox, the executive director of Destination Salem. Hello, Kate.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Vacation yet?
Not yet, but taking some time off in August.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get right to it. I visited Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll, and I interrupted our interview with a flash that crossed my mind about an ad I had seen on TV that I thought was really fascinating about the Peabody Essex Museum and something to do with ships. I'm just wondering if you could give me a little more information and let me know if that exhibit's still on.
It is. So they currently have the Ocean Liners exhibit, Ocean Liners Glamour, Speed, and Style, and it's on exhibit through October 9th of this year. And it's really a great look into the transatlantic journeys that people used to take on the classic ships like the Queen Mary, Queen Elizabeth, and the different lines that operated out of Europe, and it's got ship models. It has fashion. It has dining rooms. It's gallery after gallery of introspection into what was going on in the cruising elite.
Yeah, that looks fantastic. I know Mayor Driscoll said she wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary when she went to see it, but she recommends it to everybody, and I guess it's pretty eye-popping.
It's just beautiful, and they always do such a great job juxtaposing sort of classic art and culture with contemporary, and each gallery is themed differently, so it's a real exploration on the topic of ocean liners. And I have told everybody, you'll learn the difference between an ocean liner and a cruise ship when you go to this exhibit. And it's, we talk more about cruise ships in this day and age, not these classic vessels.
Well, there's a yacht in Gloucester Harbor this week. I forget the name of it, but it's a yacht that's in the tens of billions of dollars. And a friend of everybody's in Gloucester actually got to tour it. He actually got to meet the owner. I guess the owner is in his early 80s, and this is the last time. The yacht is about 120 feet long, I'd say, and it's the last time he's going to use this yacht because he's ordered a brand newer and bigger one.
Oh, well, there you go.
And it looks like an ocean liner, I'll tell you. Kate,
you know what? They also have in the Peabody Essex Museum in the permanent collections is a model and a recreation of the main cabin of Cleopatra's barge, which was the first luxury yacht built in America by George Crown and Shields. So people who are interested in that maritime history and maritime story, there's the permanent collections are equally as inspiring as the special exhibits. And remember, students are always free.
Yeah, I agree. The permanent exhibits, if people in the area haven't been there, they it's one of those things you got to do if you live here. I never toured Salem until I had a relative fly in from Texas, and then we went and toured everything in Salem. And it's just amazing what is there. And I know in the Peabody Essex Museum, I'm blown away by the history of what Salem had, you know, in terms of a seafaring community with China and all that stuff. So you're right. The permanent exhibits are fantastic. Kate, switching gears here a little bit before we get to some other stuff. I was just perusing the website, salem.org, the events. And just today alone, July 27, there are dozens of things that you can do, and they're all highlighted on here. People just go to the website, and you can click on it, and there's just so much stuff to do.
Yeah, there's always something happening in Salem. And in addition to the special events, and there's also all of the walking tours, the trolley tours, the museums, the attractions, Salem Willows, the restaurants. I mean, our restaurant scene is booming. We have new restaurants. It feels like they open every day. Ledger just opened on Washington Street this month, and we have more restaurants coming on, and great shopping, and certainly far beyond what a lot of people presume is just the, the T-shirt shops, the tourist-friendly shops. There's just always something going on in Salem and something for everyone to do. Thursday is Farmers Market Day.
Mm-hmm.
So people looking for fresh produce, it's the middle of the growing season, so it's a great time to check out the farmer's market.
Fantastic. Now, the other thing related to today and other days in the summer for the foreseeable future, the public transportation from Salem northward by train is not available right now. Is the city dealing with transportation in terms of tourists and so on? I mean, what do you recommend, Kate, especially for our North Shore visitors or people who just live here and want to take a trip into town?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but hopefully they will get the project done on time, and travel via train will go back to normal. For people coming down from the north, the best bet is to drive in, plan a little extra time. There's been some traffic coming in, especially through Beverly on 1A over the Beverly-Salem Bridge. There are some backups when you get down to the intersections near the commuter rail station. But there's plenty of parking once you get here. Parking in Salem is so affordable, 75 mm-hmm. cents an hour if you're in the garage. So drive in and park your car and walk everywhere once you're here, because it's a walkable city.
And I should point out that I drove in yesterday morning, probably around 8:30, quarter nine, and it just wasn't any traffic at all. And I left around noontime, and the same thing. So I think if you probably go mid-morning, you'd probably be fairly safe.
The only time I've been hitting traffic is getting out of Salem at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
going north, and it's been some delays, but we do have police officers, police details helping out with traffic and the T-buses that are coming in and doing the shuttle from northern commuter rail stops. What they're doing is bringing people to the Salem commuter rail station. And so you see a lot of the buses in the road on the road, and we're just, you know, we're going to get through it. We're from New England. We're get through this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Kate, any other events coming up in the near future that you might want to mention?
Salem Heritage Day starts on August 1st and goes for 10 days. Includes all sorts of great events like the Ice Cream Bowl, the Pizza Contest, the Essex Street Fair, the Classic Car Meet on Chestnut Street at the Phillips House, the Witch's Cup Bike Race, which is great fun, lots of high-speed bike racing around Salem Common. So 10 days of a diverse array of events for all ages and all interests, and all the information is on salem.org.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And you said something about a bike race coming up.
Yep, that's the Witch's Cup, and that's on August 9th. Mm-hmm. And it's the race around the Salem Common and includes some state championship races and great competition. It's always a lot of fun.
All right. Because you were in the big bucks, and I know how busy you are, I'm going to ask you a loaded question here. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you name something for me, just as someone who's been to Salem a lot, can you name maybe a relatively undiscovered gem that Destination Salem does, in fact, promote, but maybe the word hasn't gotten around out there, you know, very much about what it is and what we should go see? Can you come up with something that might be of interest? Because you usually do.
Oh, you know, two come to mind. If you're looking for somewhere to relax and have a cocktail, go down to the landing at Salem Ferry and on Blaney Street, and it's operated by Boston Harbor Cruises. It's a bar. You can get a sandwich. You can sit and have a cold beer or a Diet Coke and watch the boats go by. It's just a great way to spend an hour down in the landing, outdoors in nice weather. Whenever I take people down there, they always tell me I've been keeping it from them.
Ah, all right.
Between you and me, Rick, go check out the landing.
There you go, just the two of us. I got it. Thanks, Kate.
If you have visitors coming in and they want to do something off the beaten track, go to the Phillips House on Chestnut Street. It's the only home that's open to the public on Chestnut Street as a museum, and it's a real treat to get inside one of the federal-style mansions.
Terrific tips. That's awesome. Hey, the other thing I noticed, I heard about, and I don't know if you would know about it, but I understand the Grapevine has returned over there by Pickering Wharf.
The Grapevine closed. It became Trattoria Orsini. Orsini has now closed, and there is a new restaurant coming in, and I believe it is Antique Table.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Kate, thanks a lot. If I don't talk to you before vacation, have a great time, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Kate. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Kate Fox, who is the executive director at Destination Salem. With MSO New Sports, I'm Rick Moore.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber.
NewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players. Exclusive video interviews following the big games. Live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com. This is Connections on msonewsports.com.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore at the office of Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. Madam Mayor, it's the middle of summer. It's the beginning of silly season. How are you doing?
We're great. There's nothing better than summer in New England.
Yes, ma'am. That's for sure. Well, let's get right to it. I want to start from the outermost fringes up into outer space somewhere and bring it back down to Salem. And I want to start with what's going on in Washington, not what might you think. But I was hearing something about the Attorney General is cracking down on, and I'll put this in quotes, sanctuary cities, unquotes, in terms of withholding federal funds from those cities. And again, I'm very ignorant of all the terms and statuses and so on. But what is the status with respect to Salem? Is that going to affect Salem in any way in terms of federal funds?
Yeah, sure. So in Salem, we adopted a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance. I call it sanctuary city-like. There really isn't one universal definition of what a sanctuary city is. There's many different versions and methodologies that communities have adopted. In our case, since Attorney General Sessions has clarified what his definition of a sanctuary city is, it's pretty clear that our adoption of a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance, which I should say is being challenged and there'll be a ballot question on it this November, a group of residents decided they wanted to put that measure on the ballot, and if it's adopted by a majority, it will be approved. If not, it will be repealed. But our definition of a Sanctuary for Peace ordinance essentially wants to give our local immigrant community, confidence that they can call the local police and rely on local services. It doesn't go as far as some other communities who have said they are not going to cooperate with federal officials. And so, since our adoption, Attorney General Sessions has clarified the definition of a sanctuary city. Salem does not meet that with the Sanctuary for Peace ordinance. We also know just earlier this week, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that Massachusetts court officials and local police cannot detain immigrants who are here with unauthorized and hold them for ICE. Essentially, they cannot perform the duties of federal immigration officials. So that even further, sets in motion how distant our ordinance is from jeopardizing any federal funding.
Okay. I haven't seen anything in the papers recently about the emotional upheaval around the topic, especially in Lynn and Salem and the communities. What's your basic feeling as to how this thing is right now in terms of the political excitedness of it or personal feelings among people? Because I know Salem, there was some heated discussion at one point.
There were a number of forums that were held. There was a lengthy public hearing before the council adopted this, and there were a group of residents who felt strongly either opposed to it or at least that people should have a say on it who live in the community. It's been a little quiet, I would say, since then. It's not unusual. The summertime, everyone tends to hopefully enjoy family and opportunity to get out in the sun and the parks and the beaches. But I think this fall we'll certainly hear from folks again, and it'll be a great opportunity for our community to weigh in on, what type of values we have here. And frankly, this is really about a federal immigration laws that are broken right now. We have lots of blended families here, lots of folks who came and are here seeking a better life for themselves or their family, who are good law-abiding citizens or community members, I guess I should say. And I don't know that we want our local police, in the mix of eradicating, detaining, or causing fear in the lives of those individuals. I'm not sure we want our federal immigration officials doing that. That's not my say. Ideally, it'd be great to have a federal reform around federal immigration laws. If you are here and you are unauthorized, right now there is no way for you to get paperwork to stay. Mm-hmm. And so that means you only have an option of going back to, a place that you may not know, that you may be fearful about living in. You've got family and roots here now. So, devising a system to authorize, law-abiding good people who want to work and want to contribute to our country seems to me to be, the path we should be on, not trying to create hatred and fear of folks who, for the most part, are just trying to work hard and provide for their family.
We'll see what the next chapter is. And I just thought of something, too. I ain't Charlie Rose because I'm going to ask a question way off topic. Have you been to the Peabody Essex Museum display of this? Yeah.
amazing. Every time, you know, I actually, when I heard about that initially, I was like, this will be interesting, but it wasn't something that I was as enthusiastic about as I am about others. Then I heard Dan Finnemore, the curator of the exhibit, talk about what they had and the unique items and the size and scale and from, you know, just these stories around them. And that really piqued my curiosity. And then I saw it and I was like, they did it again. You know, something that you thought was going to be maybe, you know, something to see but not extraordinary turns out to be extraordinary.
So you recommend visiting?
Oh, totally. I thought it was great. I really did.
Okay, good. I just thought of that because I saw an ad on it. I said, wow, I got to ask the mayor about that because it looked fascinating the way they had the commercial.
So.
Okay, I will. All right, let's bring it down to the state level. State budget, what's the effect on Salem?
Yeah, I think that you know, our local aid the last few years has gone down. We're working with Rep Tucker and Senator Lovely to try and address it. Most of it's about the funding formula for charter schools, which impact us in a way that sees more aid going out the door because the state isn't fully funding charter school reimbursements. Overall, we're planning for it. We balanced our budget. We typically have been able to rely on a combination of new growth to try and, you know, keep taxes as low as possible while also providing for the services that residents want. I haven't seen the latest iteration with, you know, whatever vetoes are coming out of the administration and how if there are any earmarks or special dollars that we are going to lose. But the basic local aid package for us, you know, continues to be a challenge with some of the charter school reimbursement funding.
What was the best part of the city budget?
For us, being able to invest in additional police officers, public works, and we are really, you know, I think making a strong community commitment to improving our schools. We have four schools that now have expanded learning time. We're offering free breakfast and lunch in our schools. We're concentrating on also wanting to get more teacher voice and teacher leadership opportunities, leading professional development, leading different opportunities within their own schools so that we're creating a pipeline as, you know, our administrators leave, that we have teachers who we know we can elevate. So I'm excited about the progress in schools, but it takes resources. It just doesn't happen without making sure we're able to adequately fund important aspects of what happens in that school day. And right now, even looking outside of it.
It's been a long process, but it's been a steady process of improvement. And I go back a few years ago when there was some trouble with one of the schools and so on, and that's all in the past now.
Bentley was a level 4 school. It's now a level 1 school. But I think we've even evolved from that, you know, those are state designations, and they're important, just like standardized test scores are important. But as a community, we've really been working around a strategic plan that has us setting our values for our schools. What's our expectation for what our kids are going to need to know when they graduate, and how do we achieve that? And it's really not just about what's happening 8 to 3. Education's a community mission. Schools play one part of that, an important part. But there's a whole array of partners in our community that we braid in services and opportunities and enrichment activities to make sure that our kids are getting what they need to be successful.
Okay, let's go to the next topic. The railroad reconstruction, reconfiguration, whatever you call it, what's it doing to the commute in Salem?
It's messing up traffic, technically. I guess that's a technical term.
That's a technical term.
So, you know, there's no train service north of Salem as the MBTA is working on the Beverly-Salem Bridge. On the weekends, there are no train service at all on the entire line because they're working on something called positive train control, a federal mandate. All of these things are ultimately good projects for our transportation system, but when you're going through it, it's a huge pain in the neck. So we're really struggling with traffic issues in the afternoon in particular when I think all of the trains are dead-ending here and people are getting picked up. There's shuttle buses coming in, so the extra traffic on the main corridor in is making it really difficult to navigate during the afternoon commuting hours. Good news is at least we don't have school in. Salem State's not in, so this work will be done by the time those two you know, activities come back in together in the fall. So we are just wanting it to be over, honestly. It's definitely had an impact, and for commuters, by the way, as well. So we're talking about people on the ground here, but I'm sure it's upheaval for people who need the train every day to go to work.
Has that put any kind of a strain on safety, on fire, and police?
So we definitely have more police officers out helping try and pull through traffic at some of these intersections. We're just running out of real estate, and so that we're seeing some gridlock in the afternoons, even with the assistance of, you know, not using the lights to time things and just getting the flow through. I think, you know, the other aspects of public safety haven't been, you know, necessarily taxed yet, but mostly police. It's a really busy time with all the construction activity we have going on, so there are 30, sometimes 31 details a day in Salem. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's, some of them are hard to fill given, you know, the amount of work happening.
All right, then I got to hurry, speed this up so I can get out of town. Finally, I mentioned silly season, and I say that with tongue in cheek, but the election season on the North Shore, local elections are, from a viewer's standpoint, from an observer's standpoint, kind of fun. You get some real characters, you get some very serious people, you get some serious topics, and this is not your first rodeo, so tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an election year for us. There'll be an election this fall for mayor and city council. We've got an active citizenry. There's a couple of open races that have attracted, you know, lots of candidates. And then there's an at-large race that will have a primary as well. So we're excited about it. I mean, the thing about elections that I enjoy is that you have a chance to really focus on, okay, what have we done and what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. And be able to communicate with voters. So I'm out knocking on doors, talking with people on their front stoops and their kitchens about things that matter to them. I love it. I love talking about Salem. It's a great city. And, you know, hearing from people about what they like, sometimes hearing from them about what they don't like, is a really important part of my job.
That would be a hard thing for me to go out and meet people in that fashion. But I imagine you learn some things.
All the time. People are so honest to you when you're, you know, speaking with them one-on-one or in small group settings at their doors. And I think, you know, I learned that 11 years ago when I ran for office as somebody who nobody knew, who wasn't from here, who didn't have a lot of money. And now 11 years later, definitely a little bit more well-known and also a chance for folks to weigh in on what they, you know, what they like about the direction the city's heading in, areas of concern. And it's super helpful. I mean, I get lots of feedback, whether it's email or snail mail or social media or phone calls, but sitting on someone's front porch, you know, you can't beat it.
All right. I don't know when Jen has me scheduled to come back. Anything else you want to mention?
You know, I would like to mention one new organization that's in town called Root. I was just with them last night for a dinner. Root is a nonprofit that's working with opportunity youth. This would be youth that's graduated from high school but really not sure what they want to do, to teach them food training skills. So they have a whole program set up, a 12-week certification where you learn how to cook, you learn front of the house, back of the house, they operate a restaurant. The goal would be you have a mentor, soft skills, that these students gain a skill that's definitely needed in our city and I think across the North Shore with the restaurant boom. It's a big industry in need of employment. But also you have a chance to get some direction, some focus on what, for a young person who may not have a support system around them or just may not be sure, ready to take on college, you know, get somebody trained, get them some soft skills, and help them on their way. So enjoyed being with those folks last night and looking forward to them being a player in our community.
Excellent. That's Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll. I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This is Connections on MSONewsSports.com.
It certainly is, and I want to thank you for being with us this morning, and thanks to our guest. I'm going to invite you to go on over to Monday's post. We have the post up there with the interview with Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith. Brings us up to date on so much going on over at the Gloucester Fire Department, and new radios, budgets, new personnel, and some attrition as well with the recent retirement of some people, some promotions. So I invite you to go over to the Monday post here on MSO News Sports, right on our website, and check out the interview with Eric Smith, the Gloucester Fire Chief there. Also want to mention that we have upcoming tomorrow at, let's see, what time is it? At 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock on Fridays, we have Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and that is a program that we have on most Fridays here, as Josh hosts, and he makes, three or four interviews during the hour with people from all over the spectrum, politics, local city officials, people who run nonprofit organizations, you name it. Josh has the connections, a lot of them from Rotary, a lot of them from LinkedIn, that wonderful social media, which I have a hard time. Anyway, So that's at 10 o'clock. So join us tomorrow, if you will, with Josh Arnold. And then, of course, on Monday, we have our North Shore Sports Night, Monday night at 7 p.m. That's a live sports talk show. It's not a talk show in the usual sense of what you might see in Boston or here in Boston. We don't do that kind of thing, but rather we do interviews. We try to get a hold of sports figures, officials, writers, athletes, retired athletes, athletic directors, whatever. We try to get a hold of sports people in the area and get information and stories right from the source. And Bill Newell and Tim Kearns and I, we try to do that every Monday. We do have our football schedule tentatively put together. We'll be posting that fairly soon. We got to iron out a couple of details on it, but we will start with our football broadcast on September 8th. So that's coming up in the not too distant future. A couple of games on tap on Friday night. One of them will be a live streaming video game, and then we'll have two more games on Saturday, September 9. So September 8 is a Friday. Saturday, September 9, a couple of games as well, and that will get our fall sports season underway. We'd like to hear from you, too. MSONewsSports@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of us. That's MSONewsSports@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, if you have some opinions, suggestions, complaints, stories, somebody you might like for us to interview. Let us know, and we'll be happy to check that out, most definitely. So I think it's going to do it. Again, best of luck to Gloucester Little League tonight. Tim Kearns talking about that. It's a four-game, no, not a four-game, is it? No, it's more. It could be four, more than four games, but it's a four-day tournament beginning today, going right through Sunday, and the winner of the tournament, it's a four-team tournament. The winner of the tournament goes to Connecticut to play down there next week to try to represent New England in the Williamsport, Pennsylvania World Series. So best of luck to the Gloucester kids and to everybody involved. But it's a big story for the Gloucester kids. So I think that'll do it for now. On behalf of the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, and, of course, Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. Talk to you later.